This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
I'm not sure if you mentioned Focus at the beginning. You did, yeah? We really had a great time at Focus. And I just am hopeful that that's really going to be a marker for our church. Just a couple things that I heard people saying. One person mentioned that how it was the most meaningful spiritual experience since going on youth retreats, which for this person, that was many years ago. One boy was heard to be yelling as they were leaving, "I don't want to go. I want to live here." So mark it down. September 11 through 13, 2020 will be Focus next year. So we will definitely be doing this again. Now, I want to transition to the task at hand this morning, which is a little bit different from what I typically do. Usually I come in and in my sermon, I try to break down a biblical text for the message. But this morning, I need to do something a little bit different. I need to talk about vision. I need to talk about who we are and where we're going as a church. It wouldn't make sense to always do this. You don't always, you don't want the State of the Union address every week, but once a year you actually need it. And here's why. Here's why you need it. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2. I think this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. It says, it takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. And some of you are thinking, so what? Who cares? Well, here's what it means. It means the Israelites, once they left Egypt, could have reached the promised land in just a matter of days. Literally, just a matter of days, they could have been there. But instead, they wandered in circles for 40 years. And why? Well, Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that word perish, it literally means to set at naught, at zero, or to go in circles. That word did not exist in the Hebrew language before their wanderings in the wilderness. They made it up after the fact as a way to express the futility of what they did. The word is para. And they perished. They lost their vision. They forgot who they were and who God is. And as a result, they just went in circles. And without vision, that's what happens to us. We perish. We go in circles. We don't reach our desired destination. So today I want to talk about vision. And I want to do that by dealing with four questions. Who are we? Where have we been? Where are we going? And what does it mean for us right now? Who are we? Where have we been? Where are we going? And what does it mean for us right now? So who are we? Let's watch this video.
We exist to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom. Jesus' first sermon announced that a new reality had come into the world. That reality, the kingdom of God. The way of the kingdom is to enable life. Like the growth of a small seed into a large tree, it helps people become their best selves. John chapter 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Every ministry of our church flows from this invitation to experience life at its fullest. It's what we seek for ourselves, our homes, our city. It's what we seek to participate in every single day. Will you join us as we exist to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom?
To be a people fully alive in God's kingdom. John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to give life, the fullness of life, abundant life, eternal life. And all of us want to experience that life. And when I say all of us, I don't just mean those of us in this room. I think it's true of every human being. It's hardwired into us. We all want to experience life and its fullness. The only question is, where we differ is, how do we find it? How do we get a hold of it? And different people in different cultures at different times have tried to answer that question in a myriad of ways. In our culture right now, I think the dominant answer is twofold: materialism and individualism. Be true to yourself. We tell ourselves, if you're rich, you'll be happy. We tell ourselves, be whoever you want to be, do whatever you want to do, and you'll be happy. And my question is, well, yeah, okay, how's that working? How's that working for us? I'm not sure it's actually working all that well. Here at Christ Church, we unapologetically believe that the way to find the fullness of life that we all desire is in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. And because Jesus is the life, He is the way to experience it, to receive it. And because that life comes to us through Jesus, it doesn't come to us randomly. It comes to us in a very particular way. And because of that, as Paul says, it's the love of Christ that compels us to bring that life to others, to share that life with others. And we try to do that in a variety of ways here at Christ Church. Really, everything that we do, we're trying to share the good news of Jesus. But, you know, in particular, you think of ways that we try to do this. We've run the Alpha course since 1997. In Alpha, we really provide an opportunity for people to explore the meaning of life in an informal, fun, and friendly environment where they can process and ask questions and not feel judged. And it works. It works. Over the years, we've seen many, many people come alive in Jesus through our Alpha course. But not only that, since about 1995, I've been here since 2000. I've been at Christ Church since 2000. And I know the history even a little further back than that. And I know that in the mid-90s, around 1995, this church made a conscious, strategic decision that this church wanted to be a multiplying church, a church of disciples who make disciples. And one of the primary ways that this church would be a multiplying church would be through the planting of new congregations. It's been in the heart of this church for a long time to plant new congregations, because that is how, back in 1995, they envisioned, that's how we're going to bring the life of Jesus to others in a more significant way, a multiplying way, a way that we could never do just at Christ Church in Overland Park. And so since at least that long, we've wanted to bring the life of Jesus to others by planting new congregations. And that way, instead of one congregation who's trying to bring that life to others, you have two or three or four who are all preaching the good news about Jesus. And all of the data tells us that new churches, that planting new congregations is by far the best way to reach new people. All of the church data tells us that. New churches are much more effective at reaching new people than 60-year-old churches. And again, we probably don't have to think too deeply to understand why that's true. You know, it kind of makes sense. Here's a staggering reality. And this, I'll tell you, this is hard to hear, but I think it's true. Over 1 million youth, at least nominally in the church today, will choose to leave each year for the next 3 decades. 1 million each year, we're out of here for the next 3 decades. That's what church sociologists are telling us. 35 million youth raised in families that call themselves Christians will say they are not by 2050. This will be the single largest generational loss of souls in history who were raised in the church. And so what they're saying is, you can look at it as a crisis or you can look at it as an opportunity. And the opportunity is this: the church needs to plant new churches, and at a rate that is 3 times greater than what we're currently doing. So we need to plant churches at triple our current rates to meet the future needs. In numbers, that means over those next decades, we need to plant 300,000 new churches who are led by new, young, not me, visionary leaders who are going to be able to meet the needs of this new emerging world. Now, we clearly can't do all that, right? Duh. But we want to do our part. We want to do our part. And we're a part of a diocese that Churches for the Sake of Others that's trying to do its part. Our bishop, Todd Hunter, his vision when he became an Anglican and became a bishop was, I want to be a part of planting 200 new churches. And so that's who we are. We exist to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom. And the love of Christ compels us to bring that life to others. And the significant way that we're going to try to do that is through the planting of new, healthy congregations. That's who we are. Now let's think about where we've been. You know, over the last 10 years, and that's a long time, many of you, you're thinking, wait, dude, I haven't even been here 10 days. Why are you talking to me about 10 years? Well, I just got to explain, give some context. In the last 10 years, we've really been in 2 distinct seasons as a church. When I became the senior pastor, my inclination was, we need to plant a new congregation because that's something we've always wanted to do. But we were not at a time when that was really viable for us. We had come through a difficult season as a church. We were in the worst economy since the Great Depression. And we had a large debt. We had over $2 million in debt. And so we very intentionally entered into a 5-year season of preparation as a church from 2010 to 2014, where our focus was shoring up the foundations of our church, the relational, ministry, and financial foundations. And we focused on that preparation. And in the fall of 2014, we finished paying off the debt, and that was a great day. You may remember we received a large gift, the largest gift ever in the history of Christ Church, in the fall, literally like 2 weeks before the note was due. And there was $250,000 balance, and we were able to pay off that remaining balance And then the rest of that gift provided the seed money for the next season of our life together, which was not a season of preparation, but a season of planting. You know, we are just now finishing that season of planting here in 2019. From 2015 to now, we have been planting Christ Church Mission. We casted the vision. We raised up a leader and people who would go and plant. We sent them out. And since then, we've progressively been trying to bring Christ Church Mission to the point of financial viability or sustainability. And we targeted this year, 2019, as the year where the church would be 100% completely financially sustainable. And by God's grace, it's happened. It's happened. And it's really amazing. Christ Church Mission has taken root. It's growing. New people are coming every week. They're thriving. It's something we really ought to celebrate. And in fact, today is Christ Church Mission's third anniversary of public worship. So they're celebrating today. Thanks be to God. Christ Church Mission is on a firm foundation. It's not going anywhere. It's planted. So that's where we've been. The question is, what's next? We've had this season of preparation, a season of planting. God blessed it all. But now the question before us is, what's next? Where are we going? Without a doubt, the Lord wants us to plant again. He wants us to plant another congregation. Without question, I believe that is true. The parish council, we are in absolute agreement on that. However, we are not ready to plant at this point. And so, what's next? We need to enter into a new season of preparation. A new season of preparation. Our last season of preparation was characterized by this shoring up of the foundations. This season of preparation is going to be characterized by something different. The parish council, we spent several months really wrestling with this question. What do we really need to focus on as a church during this season that's coming? We prayed, we wrestled with this question, and we unanimously concluded that this new season of preparation is going to be characterized by one word, one key concept, hospitality. Hospitality. In order to be ready to plant again, there is something that the Holy Spirit needs to do in us. We need the Holy Spirit to make us the most hospitable people we can possibly be. That, yes, thank you, Matt. That is how we're going to receive more of the life that Jesus has for us. That's how we're going to bring that life to others. That's how we're going to grow as a church and how we're going to be ready to plant again when the time comes, through hospitality. You're going to be hearing a lot about hospitality in the weeks, months, and years to come. And why hospitality? There's a lot of reasons. I want to give you just three. First, hospitality is a theme that runs throughout the Bible and was an unmistakable characteristic of the early church. You read the literature about the early church. How did the early church go from nothing to basically conquering the Roman Empire? How'd that happen? In large part because of their hospitality. It was something the world had never seen before. In Acts chapter 2, we see this pattern. The Holy Spirit comes and fills the believers. He empowers them. He turns them outward and gives them the ability to speak the good news in the language of the people. And then he forms them into a warm, hospitable community that is ready to bring in all these new believers. Acts chapter 2, it's a description of the early church. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's a picture of hospitality. The early church had a reputation for receiving, for hosting people, for making room in their lives. They reoriented their entire lives toward one another, toward the stranger, toward the guest, toward the sick. That was one of the things that really just boggled people's minds in the Roman Empire. They would, when someone would get sick and was dying, they would just like throw them out on the streets. And the Christians came and took them in. And if they died, they gave them a proper burial. And the Romans didn't know what to do with that. They just thought, who are these crazy people? They were known for their radical hospitality, and it must increasingly be a mark of our life together. The second thing that I think hospitality is really required for us is our current cultural context. I said it this way at Focus. Esteem for the church is not at its highest, culturally speaking. And there's many reasons for that. And the truth is, in large part, we've earned it. We've earned it. When there's scandals and stuff in the, you know, in the news every day, well, that's kind of what happens. So there's many people who are openly hostile to the church. Even more people have just simply concluded the church is irrelevant. Like, who cares? We're just done with that. And so the reality is we face a lot of obstacles and challenges as we try to bring the life of Jesus to others. When this church was built in 1962, the playing field was much different than it is today. And so the challenges are there. But the good thing about hospitality is it helps to lower hostilities. It helps to lower barriers and welcomes people in. And this is vital for us. I think most of you would be shocked at how many visitors we have every single week. Every single week. And you know what? If we're fortunate enough that somebody comes through our doors, we have one chance to get it right. And, you know, the data tells us, there's a lot of studies done on this kind of thing. Most visitors determine if they're coming back in the first 6 to 9 minutes of driving onto the parking lot. So we really need to think about, dig deep into how can we be a warm and welcoming community that makes it easy for people to come in. So hospitality is biblical. It's characteristic of the early church. So that's one reason it's required for our cultural moment. And the third reason I think hospitality is because it already defines who we are. I've always heard that in leadership, you're better off strengthening your strengths than trying to fix all your weaknesses. And I think that's at least partially true. And certainly, we've had lots of anecdotal evidence to tell us that, at least in part, we are a hospitable community. I can tell you personally, it's why Stephanie and I decided to come here. So in 2000, when I was interviewing for a job here, and I really wasn't sure if I was going to say yes. Well, in the middle of that whole process, we find out Stephanie's pregnant, and from day one, it's a troubled pregnancy, and she's in and out of the hospital and on bed rest, and we have a one-year-old, and we have to move in with my in-laws, and it's just, life is chaos. And so I've been in this interview process. I haven't said yes to Christ Church yet. But we're over at my in-laws, and people just start knocking on the door over there and bringing food. And I'm like, who are these people? I don't even know these people. And it was probably some of you. So Christ Church started ministering to our needs before I was ever even a part of the church. I was like, well, now I have to say yes. I mean, like, people bring me food. So we want to play to our strengths. We want to grow in hospitality. So let me finish with our last question. What does this mean for us right now? What does it mean for us right now? It means two things. First, today we are formally kicking off a fundraising effort that we've really been talking about for quite some time now. But after the 10:45 service today, there's going to be a kickoff event with lunch right here in the Disciples Center. Everyone is welcome. There's details in your bulletin on page 2. Hospitality is really going to be at the heart of this effort. And we're going to be raising funds in 3 categories. For hospitable spaces, so that our actual physical space is warm, inviting, welcoming. For hospitable mission, the work we're going to do outside the walls of this church. And then for hospitable church, for the ministries and our life together here. There's going to be more details talked about today at the kickoff event, and there'll be events coming later that will provide many more details. But again, everyone's welcome. We would love to see you there. The second thing, beginning next Sunday, we're going to start a new sermon series followed by a life group study, and it's going to be about hospitality. We're calling it Making Room, Practicing Kingdom Hospitality. Again, details are in your bulletin on page 2. We want everyone in the church to participate, everyone. And we're trying to make room for that to happen. There's going to be two evening options here at Christ Church Overland Park, a Tuesday and a Wednesday option. There will also be groups who will just meet in homes. We're also considering a Wednesday morning option. Let me be clear about something. This series is not about money. Of course, hospitality and just about everything in life is connected to money, but it's not about money. It's about hospitality. And that's what we're going to study together, how we can grow as people and be a hospitable community. I believe that the Holy Spirit began a transforming work in us at Focus. And I think that's going to continue through this series that we're doing this fall. I don't exactly know how to explain it. But I will just tell you, I've been here 20 years. We are at a unique place right now. And we're going to talk some about that at the kickoff event later today. But the Spirit is moving at Christ Church. And He really wants us to come fully alive in God's kingdom. He wants us to experience the fullness of life that is in Jesus. And to be sure, He also wants to compel us, to turn us outward, to make us into warm, welcoming, hospitable people so that we can bring that life to others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings that we have already received in it. We're grateful that we have this opportunity to gather and worship and to think deeply about who we are and where we're going as a church. Lord, we just pray for Your Holy Spirit. We pray that You would empower us, that You would work in and through us. Lord, we offer ourselves to You, as Paul says in Romans, as living sacrifices. And we say, Lord, work in us and through us to accomplish Your will, Your good, pleasing, and perfect will. Lord, whatever you have for us, we want it. Whatever you want us to do, Lord, we want to obey. We want you, Lord, to empower us so that we might take this good news of Jesus to a world that desperately needs it. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.